All right, we're going to start back dealing with this series, dealing with the history, well, the sons of Noah, but it's also the history of mankind, to know where, how this thing has come about and different things like that. And so so we'll look at these different things and just get a good understanding of it. We'll start at Genesis 10, verse 1. And this is just a review portion of it, so I don't know how long I'll stay here. It just depends on how Yah leads, you know, how Yah leads this, okay? Let me just pray first. Did I pray? I didn't pray there. I was just finished. All right. Father Yah, we bless your name. We just honor you for who you are. We thank you for just the opportunity to get into your presence and to walk in understanding. And we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood." And as you look at here, I'll just go ahead. It says the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz. History shows that your Ashkenaz, a lot of your Jews come from these, or Jewish people come from these Ashkenaz, also to Gomer, from what I've just seen from a perspective of these two names, and then the history of these Jewish people who are in our homeland. And then as you see the sons of Javan, you know, it just depends on how it's pronounced. And when you look J, it's Javan, and so it's Tubal, Meshach, Tyrus, the sons of, oh, I already read it, didn't I? The sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish. And when you look at Tarshish, there are some things that points out some stuff as far as that is concerned. It deals with the Mediterranean, merchant vessels, and so when you look at these, and I may have to come back and correct this if it's necessary, but it's not because I'm seeing it. But I was about to say, when you look at Tarshish and Kittim and things like that, these are your Romans. Okay, these are your Romans. Greek, your Greek, Romans, these different things like that. So when you start looking at these nations in Scripture, when you look at the king of Grecia, these are Japheth's descendants. Okay, the Isles by the sea where they were located, and the Isle, where it says these are the Isles. When you look at the word Isles, it deals with countryside islands, and so this is where the sons of Japheth, his descendants were. Most of these are your European nations. When you look at these nations here of Genesis 10, verse 1 through 5, then it says, again, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after his family, in their nation. Now, what you have to keep into consideration is that when we look in Genesis chapter 11, it says, "And the whole earth was one language and of one speech." So it lets you know that this is telling the history of these nations before we discuss what's going on in Genesis 11. Genesis 11 gives the detail give some details about some things, according to Genesis chapter 10, because as you look at verse 5, it said, by these were the isles of Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue. When you look at chapter 11, they spoke one language, all of them. So it lets you know that this is the time after this. So Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9, Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9 is actually before Genesis 10. Genesis 10, when you start looking at how they were divided after their tongues. And so this just explains, it's kind of like Genesis 1. Genesis 1 tells you an overall thing, but Genesis 2 gives you some details about what happened. Genesis 10 and 11 does the same thing, okay? So then as you look, and I'll keep this up because that's where we're going. Then you look at verse 6, it says the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. When we looked at scriptures and dealt with it here recently, we come to realize where it says, cursed be Canaan. Canaan is actually the oldest. But yet Canaan is named last. The same way Japheth is named last, but he's the oldest. So it shows rank. So Yah names the sons according to rank. Shem being first in rank, Ham being second in rank, Japheth being third in rank, because of the order by which Yah set things. Well, you see the same thing when it comes down to these sons of Ham, because Canaan was cursed by Noah because of what his father Ham had done and seeing his nakedness, he cursed his oldest son. Thus, he's named last in the family. Same way with our nation, Reuben lost his birthright because he slept with his father's concubine. And so we see these different things, and you see changes take place accordingly, and you see it in the names a lot of times. So as you see, and the sons of Cush, because it shows the rank. Cush is ranked higher, okay? The sons of Ham, Cush here. Cush is ranked higher, thus Nimrod. It shows Nimrod why, or gives a better understanding why Nimrod was the first so-called leader of mankind. He was the first one world order. And so when you look at him, Cush is first in rank, so Nimrod descends from Cush, and so that's why he's the one who is the mighty one in the earth. It's the order. It's showing you these different things, okay? Sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim. Mizraim is Egypt, which lets you know Egypt is not the oldest society. Egypt is not even the oldest of its brothers. Canaan is older than Egypt or Mizraim. So, and it also shows, as far as rank is concerned, that Mizraim or Egypt is not even ranked highly, is not the highest rank in the sons of Ham. Okay? They are a nation of people that had advanced technologies in a lot of ways, but they are not your most ancient nations. So it's vitally important for us to understand that according to the scriptures. Okay? Now, and the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, and Sapta, and Rama, and Saptica, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Why? Because he is the source behind what's going on in chapter 11. Okay? Chapter 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed east from Mount Ararat, Turkey. They journeyed east from Turkey and settled in Shinar. Shinar, when you read in scripture, is ancient Babylon. It is also Mesopotamia. It's also Ur. You are Ur. So these are the same names. So when you see them in scripture, it's the same region. Today is the Iraqi territory, okay? Now, so as we see here, and they said one to another, Nimrod is leading this. Okay, Nimrod is leading this. That's why it says, verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, because he was leading here. So it shows the rank, Cush. It shows him descending from Cush, being the highest of rank, and he's leading. Thus Nimrod became the mighty hunter. He's the mighty one. Verse 11, he was a mighty hunter before Yah. So when you look at before Yah, he was against Yah. The word before is against. When you look at it here, he was mighty. He was chief. He was a champion. He was a mighty hunter. Okay? He was a mighty hunter, but before Yah, when you look at before Yah, as we go down here, bring it down a little bit further. You look before Yah. Let me bring it down a little bit further here. When it, mighty hunter before the Lord. I'm going to keep bringing it down until I can finally see it. Yeah. Mighty hunter before, it means from, it means the face. Okay? Anger, against. Nimrod was against Yah. He was the first anti-God. Okay? Nimrod was the first anti-God. He's the first one world order. All one world orders go against the oracles of Yah. So he's the first one. That's why it says before. So when we read things from our language, you know, we have a different perspective. But when we look at it in our ancient language, you know, I'll say when we look at it in the English language, we have one perspective on it. But when we look at it in the ancient language to understand what before means, Nimrod was against Yah. Thus, when we get into chapter 11, we see what he was doing to manifest that he was against Yah. Okay? Now, again, he was a mighty hunter before Yah. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before Yah. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, confusion, and Erech, and Akkad, and Cana, in the land of Shinar, Mesopotamia, Babylon. Okay? Out of that land went forth Asher, and built Nineveh in the city Rehoboth and Calah. And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. He was a mighty hunter. And so when you look at Asher in chapter 10, it let you know areas where he went and also conquered. So when you look at Asher, that's Assyria. The Assyrians, that's the descendants of Shem. So Nimrod went into the areas of Shem and conquered. Okay? Did some conquering. Now, verse 13, in Mizraim begot Ludum and Anamun and Lahabim and Naphtuhim and Pathrusim and Casulim, out of whom came the Philistine, your giants. So your giants come from, giants don't come from fallen angels. They come from someone from Ham. Okay? Especially when you start looking at Canaan, a lot of your giants and things came from these descendants. That's why when our nation went over into the land, they said we're like grasshoppers in their presence, because these were giants. You look at when David fought Goliath and all these different things, these were your giants. They didn't come from fallen angels, they come from men. Okay? And Kafturim. And Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, giants, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Girgashites. These are your giant nations, and the Hivites, and the Arkites, and the Sinites, and the Arvadites, and the Zimmerites, and the Hamathites. And afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the borders of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou goest to Gerar and Gaza. That's our homeland. Because we took Canaan, Gaza, Gaza Strip, Israel, land of Israel, as goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboam, even to Lasha. Now, when you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, where is Sodom and Gomorrah located? It's located in the land of Canaan. That's why you get a lot of people that will say say they believe, you know, they believe certain things from perspective of Sodom and Gomorrah when it was, you know, destroyed. But, you know, I don't get into certain things like that. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues. So it lets you know Ham's families all spoke the same language after they were scattered in Genesis chapter 11. Shem descended, so all of your European nations spoke the same language. The descendants of Japheth spoke the same language and variations of it from there. All of your Ham descendants spoke the same language and variations from there when Yah scattered them in Genesis 11. Okay? It was Yah who scattered them. Now, the sons of Shem. Okay, and unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber. Eber. Ebu, the Hebrews. The brother of Japheth, the elder. Unless you know Japheth is the oldest, but he's named last because it shows his rank. Okay? Japheth, the elder, even to him were born sons. The children of Shem, Elam, Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Jeter, and Mush. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were sons, were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days were the earth divided. So this lets you know when the earth was divided, how you see what the earth, the way that you see it now, where you have water between the dry ground. The earth was divided here. So when Yah scattered them with their language and they all went off from building the tower, then Yah also separated the land mass. That's why you see it the way it looks now. Well, you have nations that have water in between those land masses, because not only did Yah scatter them, confound their language to scatter them, but he also separated the dry ground in order to keep them separated. That's why it says the earth was divided. Originally, when Yah created the earth, it was one mass. Water surrounded it. Thus, when the scripture tells us in Genesis that he divided the waters from above it, the waters beneath, he called the water seas. The seas wrapped around the dry land in the beginning. You had the dry ground, which was the circle, so to speak, of the earth, or the dry ground. It says four corners. And so you have the dry ground, but you had the seas wrapped around the dry ground. Well, when Yah split the divided, when you look at the word divided, verse 25, when you look at the word divided, it means to split. Yah split the land. So when you look at maps today and you see it split, that's why it split. Yah did it. That's why the whole earth flooded in the so-called Noah's flood, because it was all one mass. So yes, the whole earth was flooded, because water came from the abyss, the deep, and the windows of heaven was open. The whole earth was flooded because it was all one landmass when Yah originally created it. Okay, so you have to be able to see these things according to scripture now. Now, verse 25, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. And for in his days were the earth divided. When you look at the name Peleg, Peleg means earthquake. So it lets you know how it happened. Okay? Peleg means earthquake. Yah letting us know in the scripture how he divided the land. So when you look at it here, that should not have been a semicolon. It should have been a colon to let you know that the earth was divided during Peleg. That's why he was named Peleg. He was named earthquake because our nation named people according to certain events and things like that. So he was named earthquake because Yah divided the earth during the time frame he scattered the language. Okay? Y'all seeing this? Y'all getting it? Now, and so as we move here now, Peleg should have been a colon there. because it's letting you know this is attached. This should have been a semicolon like it is. So after Peleg, it should have been a colon to let us know, for in his days the earth was divided, associated earthquake was the source. Okay? Now, as you see, for in his days was the earth divided, semicolon, and his brother's name was Joktan. Okay? We'll look at the just the meaning of his name just for he will be made little. Okay? Something going on with that boy. Now, and Joktan begat Amadad and Sheleph, and Hazarmaveth and Jira. I may be killing some of these names, but that's close as I can get it. And Hadarim, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesa, as thou goest to Sepha, a mount of the east. Okay? These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues. So it let you know Shem's descendant all went to the same area after they were scattered. Okay? So when Yah did this thing, that's why you really have three continents. When Yah split it, he split it according to those boys and their families. That's why your ancient maps show you only three. It shows you Africa, Asia, and Europe. When you look at those ancient maps. Okay? Matter of fact, I'm going to take time to see if I can find one. This is class. We ain't in no hurry. We got next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week next after that. So we got time. I'm going to see if it'll show us. It may not give me what I'm looking for, but see, this is how it looked in your ancient times. Just to show you here, it was one. Where did that thing go? See, they call it Libya. Europe, Asia, Libya, Africa. Or Ham. You got Ham, Shem, and Japheth. You got the ocean around it, just like I described in the scripture. It was one land mass. Okay? Yah split it. You had water in those areas. You had, because Yah, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, I'm not going to go there. And so I'm just showing you that this is how it really was. Well, when Yah split that, that's what you see. You see that when the whole earth was flooded, it was indeed flooded. It was all connected. Okay? And that's just so. And so you had this here, Europe, they more so said Africa. So you had Europe, Africa, or according to the scripture, you had Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Ocean wrapped around. It's indeed flat. So when the earthquake split this. So that's why your maps look like they do now. Okay? I just wanted to show you that. Okay. Alrighty. So again here. It says these are the families of the sons of Noah. Verse 31, I'll go back up there again. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations, in their nations, and by these the nations were divided. How? Earthquake, language. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Okay, after the flood. And so it's letting you know that they were divided after the flood, okay? And now as we go into chapter 11, it said the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. We know that how they were scattered now, and it came to pass. I don't want to read all of this. I'm just going to read down the, just read verse 1. I'm just going to read it instead of explaining it, because you know. There may be some things I may explain just as a review, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I want Elder to explain his map according to ages. I'm going to turn that over to him. Then it says, we'll work it out. I mean, you designed it. You know it better than me. So why? I ain't trying to reinvent the wheel, okay? And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. They're journeying from the east because our father, Noah, and the son, his three sons, and their wives, the ark settled on Mount Ararat, which is modern day Turkey. They traveled from the east, from Turkey into Shinar, or Iraqi territory, Mesopotamia. Okay? And so as you look at these names, you'll be able to see it. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar. The whole earth was one of one language and one speech. Noah spoke the same language as his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Thus, all of their children spoke the same language until Yah divided it in chapter 11. Verse 3, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. Notice it says a city and a tower. They didn't just focus on that tower. You get people that try to say they built a tower and it was, you know, way up there and it took them years to do it. Now, all that's just speculations. You know, I think the last time we was dealing with this, you get so high in a plane, it's too cold. You can't stand the temperature. That's why when you get up certain heights in a plane, you know, your feet start getting cold and all that. Some people start getting blankets and all that because it's cold. They ain't building no tower way up in there. No 30,000 feet and all that kind of stuff. Okay? And so when you look at it, they built a city and a tower. It says, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Because this is Allah worshiping. They were worshiping the stars. They were worshiping the host of heaven, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, actual luminousness. They worshiped it. Okay? And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. This was a direct, this why it says Nimrod was a mighty hunter before Yah. He was against the plan of Yah. What did Yah say? To mankind, multiply, replenish, which means to fill, not do again, fill the earth. So they were going against Yah's order, okay? And because of that, Yah says, and Yah came down. Who came down? Yah. Yah came down himself. And Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Yah said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. What did they imagine to do? Make a name for themselves. What were they doing? Allah worshiping. Y'all was saying they're gonna accomplish the task. They're gonna make a name for themselves. They're gonna defy me if I allow them to take place. Now, verse 7, he says, go to, let us go down. Anytime you see the word us go down, it is Yah speaking to the host of heaven. It is not Yah speaking to Jesus. It's not Yah speaking to Yehoshua. Yehoshua had not been created by Yah yet. By his spirit. He hadn't done it yet. So when he said, go to, let us go down, he's talking to the host of heaven. Angels traveled with Yah. Yah went down himself. Go to. That's why we've been dealing with lessons on the angel of Yah. That's just another name of Yah when he operates from that perspective. When he moves and come down to see what men are doing. Thus the scripture tells us, be careful when we entertain angels. Be careful when we entertain strangers, because we may be entertaining angels unaware, or angel Elohim, God, Yah unaware. Okay? That's what it's letting us know. Yah dwells among men at times. It's just that he has so many facets to him, we don't recognize him all the time. Okay? And Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Yah said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and nothing will restrain from them, which they have imagined. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Yah scattered them abroad. That's when you go to chapter 10. When Yah scatters them, you can put chapter 10 right after that in order to understand it. Yah scatters them. When he scatters them, then Yah starts to give the genealogy. He just said he put it in chapter 10 to get us set up to understand what happened and why it happened in chapter 11. Okay? Now, verse 8, so Yah scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. They had finished the tower, they're building the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because that should have been a colon, or it should have been nothing there, or Babel, because Yah did there confound the language of all the earth. Okay? And from this did Yah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That's what took place. Genesis 10 explains it in detail. Genesis 11 tell you why that happened. Okay? Now we'll look at it here, Eldon, and I'll kind of turn some things over to you, and we just kind of, you know, flow in and out on this and dealing with one another, dealing with this here. Now, chapter 11, verse 10, starts to deal with the generations of Shem after this. Notice that it gave you the generation of the generations of the sons of Noah in chapter 10. But in chapter 11, it picks up Shem again, and it not only gives the name of him, but it starts to give the ages. And the reason why it does this is because Shem, descendants from this point on, they're the focal point in the scripture. It doesn't mean Ham doesn't have history. It doesn't mean Ham and his descendants, it doesn't mean they don't have history. It doesn't mean Japheth and his descendants, it doesn't mean they don't have history. You can actually go look at their history. Some things about them are true. Okay? So when you go look at Kemet and you go look at Egypt and the technologies and things like that, that's true history. But it doesn't trump what Yah is doing. Yah just tells how it takes place. And so because people don't understand the scriptures, then they'll go to say, well, Egypt is your ancient, your oldest Kemet, and all this, your old, you know, all these older generations. And they'll start going back and, you know, from the east and all these different things. Well, the scripture tells us these things, okay? So as you get in verse 11, it says, Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Okay? And begat sons and daughters. Now, when you look at Shem, what we're going to point out to you is that Noah was living, Shem was living, Abraham lived, I believe it was 39 years with Noah. We're going to show you these things in the scripture. And so when you see these ages, you had the earth populating at the time, so men lived longer. Okay? So that's why when you get people say, well, man, how is somebody going to live 500 years and still beget sons and daughters and all these things like this? Because the earth had to be populated. So if it was just me, then, you know, I was going to have to live a long time to be able to populate the earth like y'all said. So I just couldn't die off, you know, like you know, folks do nowadays. You know, hardly able to reach 100. Plus you had a healthy ecosystem and all these different things. You didn't have all this pollution, all these GMOs that they were eating. They had the best of the best. The water wasn't tainted. None of that was going on. We would live a lot longer today if all this stuff wasn't going on. Okay? And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Elder, I'm going to turn this over to you at the time, right now. Which one you want me to pull up first? I see you got two of them up.
I think they're the same.
Okay. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll turn it over to... Okay, you want to make it larger? Okay. I'll turn it over to you at this point.
So basically what this is...
Okay. And here, take this too.
This is the genealogy of everybody. So just know that this is slightly distorted, but other than the Noah being distorted, I did this to highlight who was still alive, right? So if you see here, if you start at year one, let's say, would be at the beginning of creation. So if you do that, starting at year one, when or at the beginning of creation, we know that Adam lived 930 years according to scripture. So, and after so many years, actually after 130 years, he begat Seth. And so at year 130, we see Seth is born according to what scripture is saying. So if you start following those genealogies, Seth lived this amount of time, and you can see the descendants and how they're born. So for example, you can see all the way to Enoch. Well, when Enoch was born, Adam was still alive, Seth was still alive, Enos, Canaan,
Mahalalel?
He was still alive, Jared was still alive. So you see, even up to Methuselah, when Methuselah was born, Adam was still alive, all these generations were still alive. Even to Lamech, and so Lamech is the father of Noah. And so even up to the point of Lamech being born, Adam was still alive.
So in a nutshell, Lamech and Adam had encounters with one another. I'm just saying from that perspective, from being born. Yeah.
So you see that even during this time, these many generations down, that Adam was still alive. Now by the time that Noah was born, Adam had died. And so you see all of these time frames. And so from the time of the beginning to the time of Noah was about 1,056 years. So we see all the way from the beginning, and you see this timeline, you continue over here, this is the flood. So from the beginning all the way to the flood, it only took 1,656 years for mankind to become corrupt. When you read stories and you don't have all these timelines, it's hard to get a grasp of how much time is taking place. But in this, when you put all the timelines, what the scripture gives us, it just shows you, hey, it was only 1,600 years, and you know all of the earth was corrupt, basically. So we see prior to the flood, Shem was born. Shem was, I believe, 98 years old when the flood happened. So you see during this time frame, and I wish I had put the number of years that they, I may go back and correct that.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. So just explain it, and we'll come back with the chart again. We can pick up with it again.
So, if you see here, after the flood, even, Shem is still alive this period of time. These are all the generations down to Eber. Eber is where you get Hebrew from. Keep going. Peleg is who we talked about where the earthquake happened. So, during, I guess, 1757 is when
the earthquake,
the
confounding of the land, right? Okay. Also, probably around that time when they were scattered too, because they happened during the same time frame. Language was scattered, then the earthquake it happened.
So, if you keep going down, you'll see all the way to Abraham. And while Abraham was alive, you can see that Noah was still alive. So Noah didn't die until, what was that, 2006?
Yeah, you're showing too,
2006. And so Abraham is 1948 from the beginning. So that's what, 52 years?
I think it's around 39. I think he actually lived with Noah. I'm not for sure though. But we'll fix all that when we come to it again.
So as you can see here, that all of these generations Noah was able to see. So this is what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 generations.
Right. Now, huh? Yeah.
It's not a timeline, not official timeline. It's not like that. I started at the beginning because the timelines that people use now is centered around 0 and BC and all.
Right.
It's not any of that. It's from the beginning.
Right.
So when you see this number, you know this is how many years from the beginning, not 1976.
Right. Because you have to understand, when you look at the time frame now, if we were going according to Yah, we're around 6,000 years into I believe it's around 6,000 years. I think the from the time Adam to now, I think it's close to 6,000 years or something like that. So that's how he's explaining it.
So when you see these numbers, it's from the beginning. It's
right.
not the
BC and AD and all that, after death and before Christ. And so also explain, from the timeline, Abraham and Noah.
What do you mean?
When Abraham, I'll just say it. As you can see from the timeline here, we're at the bottom, moving around so you can see. At the bottom here, where you see Abraham is born, notice he's born, Noah's still living. You see it? Noah's still living, so Abraham is born, he has it from the way that the timeline is showing. Abraham had fellowship with Noah. Abraham also dies before Shem. Show you how long they were living. Abraham died before Shem. Abraham descends from Shem, but he actually died before Shem. So when we start to look at scripture in the future, when we start to look at scripture, and it says to Abram, "Get thee from thy kindred," Shem was living. Shem was still living when Yah told Abraham to get away from your family, you get away from your kindred. So these are the people that he's telling Abraham to get away from your kindred. Shem is still living. Why would he tell him to get away from Shem? Shem is at the Tower of Babel too. Okay? Shem is at the Tower of Babel too. So when you see this, it starts to all make sense. Wait a minute, man. He tells Abraham, get away from your father's house. Notice what the scripture says does. Your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of them are our fathers. So he said, get away from your father's house. Shem is his father. Arphaxad is his father. Selah is his father. So when you look at all these here, there was something going on with these families to make Yah tell Abraham, get away from your kindred. Get away from your area. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. Okay, and so I wanted you to see this chart. Was there anything else you wanted to do with it? So I wanted you to see this chart in order to understand or to start seeing what's really going on with these families and how families intermingled and they had encounters and things like this. Because you have to take into consideration that that before the flood, the earth was of one landmass. So chances are very high that Lamech did have encounters with Adam. Okay? I would go very, you know, I would be very confident and say all these had families stay close. They all were in the same region. Okay? They don't start to scatter away from certain regions until Noah. After the flood is when they start scattering. So all these families was in the same region. They lived in the same region. So I believe Lamech had encounters with Abram. I mean, I'm sorry, Adam. It's when they were scattered after the flood here, you start seeing nations now not being close-knit. Before then, all the families were together. That's why they all traveled east to Shinar. One big old happy family. Your Europeans, your Africans, and your Asiatic people are according to the scripture, Japheth, Ham, and Shem were close families even after the flood, until they were scattered during Peleg's life. Thus it was earth. They were scattered because of the earthquake. Other than that, those families stayed together, so they all had fellowship with one another. They were divided after the flood. Their languages were divided after the flood. And thus Yah caused an earthquake to scatter them and to separate them from the landmass. And they all communicated in their own languages. Thus you have variations of all these languages all over the world. You can go to Africa, you see variations of language. You can go to Asia, you see variations of language. Or Shem's territory, or Ham's territory, you see variations of language, but it's all pretty much the same language, variations. Your European nations, Japheth, you see variations of the language, but it's the same language. Shem, variations of language, but it's the same language. Okay? And so it's important for us to understand these things, and that's why I wanted to show you that in the scriptures, okay? So when you see these names here, it is letting us know, and we'll come back and deal with this a little bit more in detail, and then we'll start to get an understanding of why they started to separate, okay? Why they started to separate, why Yah told Abram to separate from this family here. This is the family, verse 11 through verse 29 or 27. Yeah, verse 11 through 27, these are the families that Yah told Abram to separate from. Okay, and we'll come back. We're going to start next week with the map. And then we'll continue on into chapter 11 and go into chapter 12. It's just that I don't want to jump there because I want you to stay, I want it to be on your mind what we just discussed to have you focus on saying, man, wow, that is something to see Abraham live during a time when Noah, I think it was 39 years from the research I've done, but we'll make sure when we look at all of it again, we'll make sure. Elder and I get together, make sure, okay, that we're on the same page. Okay. Y'all got it? Any questions? Comments? If not, I'm stopping right here. Okay. Father, Yah, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for just revealing to us the history of mankind, the history of the sons of Noah. And we just glorify you for revealing to us these things. And we thank you for it. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.